Christian thinking. Now, why did I do this? A bunch of questions came up about it, some straight out on this topic, and some they were talking about something else, and it came down to our thinking. Now, we have to, we did a Bible study or a sermon, I think, on the mind, and they kind of go together. But this thinking is a process that we do that we have to understand, because you'd be surprised, most people are confused on this process of thinking. So we, what this is doing is hoping that we can understand, and especially how we think as Christians, or how we must think as Christians. So we have to recognize how this whole process works. Now, you have to first realize there are two types of thinking. There is the conscious thinking, which you choose and control to come to mind. That's what you have full control over. If I said everybody think of a cat, we're all probably not thinking of a cat, of the same cat, but we're all thinking of a cat because I said so. One way or the other, you allowed that to come to mind. You understand that? But if you notice, I say it's and what you choose and control. So it's something that you have the flexibility on, because you're going to notice when we get to the second part, there are some things that you think you really shouldn't be thinking. And how bad is that? We'll talk about that. But then you have what's also called the subconscious. And this is triggered. Okay, this is triggered through the flesh or through the spirit. So it's not always a bad thing. It's things that come to mind. It's things that may even trigger your dreams. It's the thoughts that come to your mind that you didn't necessarily think of, but it could be from a smell, from a touch, from reminiscing, from whatever that may be. Or especially when somebody's deep in God's word in the right way, triggered by the Spirit of God. He can speak to us through our thoughts as well. So this is all of this could come into play, but we got to know the difference and we have to understand that. But everybody thinks. But two things we must understand: that everyone has bad thoughts. We have good thoughts too, but you have some people that either look at other people, or some people walk around with the mindset of, I don't think like that person. Now, two things we've done, because I want to make sure you understand the reason why everybody has bad thoughts is because we're flesh. And remember when Paul says nothing good is in the flesh, and your flesh is triggered by stuff that's not always in line with God. So either you're through the flesh triggered subconscious or out of control conscience. I know there are people that may get on your nerves, and you may have the thought of, I could just strangle them. Now that's murder. So that's a bad thought. And I'm sure we all have had those things. Secondly, we allowed Satan to give us a category of things that we call bad, but then we also allowed, and maybe Satan didn't even have anything to do with it, but I'm sure he did, but it's one of those, he could have played a part, but I think we play a part in it also, in which we've desensitized ourselves on other things that the Bible clearly shows is bad. We're saying, yeah, it's no big deal. So we think about those things and we're wrong all the time. So everyone has bad thoughts. Don't ever look at somebody and think they're such a wholesome person and they never have bad thoughts. No such thing. Okay. And Satan wants you to think that to make you think you're an evil person. I've heard people think, and this is where, as Carolyn asked the question earlier about the heart and that verse, where that verse says, your heart condemns you. Why does your heart condemn you? Of the bad thoughts. Your heart can be influenced by the flesh, which will make you think, man, I'm going to hell. You understand that? That's condemnation from your heart. But that's what he says. God is stronger than your heart. So despite how I feel or what I think, I listen to what he says. And that's going to be the key to it. The second thing that we must understand is everyone thinks different when not of the same mind. There's a verse in the Bible when we talk about the mind that all Christians are to be of the same mind. Unfortunately, today, very non-existent. Because the same mind isn't we have the same mind as each other, or we have the same mind as some group, or we have the same mind as the culture that we're around. No, we all must have the same mind as Christ. That's where we fail, because we grew more and more in our individuality and what we desire. We've gotten more into cliques, and this is why we are being persuaded and tossed here and there. So hopefully in this thinking, you'll realize how your thinking works and realize what you must do in order to stay in line with him. But I got to get something clear first, because this is one that some ministers say incorrectly and dangerously so. And I'll show you. I'm going to read where they get it from, where they get it wrong from first. They get it from the King James And that's why I asked the question, is this really talking about how a man thinks? Proverbs 23, 6 to 8 says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. I don't know what a dainty meat is, but don't desire it from him. But, you know, so that's what I'm saying. Now, here's the verse that they say wrong. Verse 7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. So ministers will get in front of the congregation and go, as a man thinketh, and the congregation go, so he is. And we're like, amen. That's what it's saying. You continue to read. This is eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsels which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Now, once again, it could be a confusion in language and confusion in understanding. But if this stood, there would be a major contradiction in the Bible. Now, remember, the Bible usually complements, but this would be a contradiction if this stood. If how I thought is what I am, then it's contradicting something. We're going to see what it contradicts. Let's see what this verse is really talking about. That's why I have, no, it does not. It's talking about a stingy man. It says in Proverbs 23, 6 to 8, again, and using the NIV, do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies. You know, the things that are his, that he's really advertising. It says, for he is the kind of man who is always thinking about cost. So it's saying about what this man is going through. He may say one thing, but in his mind, he's really thinking. He's like, hey, enjoy yourself. While inside, he's like, why are you eating all my food? It says, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. In reality, he really doesn't want you to eat all this food. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your confidence. So basically, this is a thing focused on greedy people and how we have to be careful how we are around them. That's what this is solely on, but that's a misuse verse. Now you may go, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? There is some wisdom in that. Well, watch how it contradicts. First of all, it's not the thoughts that make the man. It's the man that make the thoughts. It's what you are that's going to explain what your thoughts are. Now, you may say, well, doesn't that make sense going both ways? We'll explain that, but let's look at this first. Proverbs 15, 26 is the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked. Did you catch that? All right. He's letting us know that a person who is wicked, he hates their thoughts. I don't care how good or how bad their thoughts are. Their thoughts are abhorrent to God. He doesn't like them. It says, but those of the pure. The pure, remember, we understand pure is the ones who are just fully, completely God. It says, are pleasing to him. Because if you're truly pure, everything's driven by his word and his word only. Now, when you get those people who mix and become corrupt, they're still counted and wicked. Now, if you really thought about this, it really, you know, cuts down on who really is pure. Because if my every thought and everything that I think and do, and it's not, I'm sorry, let me back up, not my thoughts, but if my life is driven by God and God only, I'm pure. Then my thoughts will be in line with that. But if my life is not just driven by God and God only, even if God plays a part, but it's not by God and God only, I'm still part of the wicked. You understand that, okay? And he also shows in Proverbs 21, 29, a wicked man puts up a bold front. The wicked man likes to put on a show. Wicked man is what you see trying to display something for you. He says, but an upright man, watch this, gives thought to his ways. So that even shows the man and how his thoughts work. Now watch this about thoughts. Thinking wrong could lead to disastrous outcomes. So it's not when I think, and the world teaches of this positive thinking. If I think I'm this, then this will happen. That's what the world teaches. But look what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 10, 12, it says, if you think you are standing firm, watch what it says, be careful that you don't fall. My thing isn't to have positive thinking so things will happen. It's me to think in line with God. We're going to talk about that. Just because it may seem to work out at some times, it doesn't work out all the times, and it's dead wrong based on what the way says. Bible, who is the way? The Bible is the word. The Bible is Christ. And it's telling me, if you think you're standing firm, and some who look at sight will go, and it worked. If you ever heard people do that, I'd seen it, and it worked. They missed it. They have been just deceived as Eve. You understand that? So it's not what I think, it's what he says. Okay. He was like, so be careful that you don't fall. And that's what happens to a lot of people when they go based off of what they think, not based off of what God said. Our thinking about ourselves must be based on what God says about us. Y'all get that? Our thinking about ourselves must be based on what God says about us. It says in Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you," watch this, "do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Now, that goes dead against what the world teaches. The world says, make sure you think you're the best person out there. Make sure you think you can do anything. You can do anything you put your mind to. Isn't that what we're taught? Bible just said, don't think more highly. Wait a minute. That goes against that. And that's a warning and a command. He was like, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. A lot of us can't be used by God because we ignore this. In our thoughts, we have put in our minds what we think we should be. So God says, you're going to be this. But you can't be that because you think, oh, I should be that over there. You understand that? You're so focused on what you think you should be, you're missing on what he says you should be. And a lot of what you're supposed to be doing down here is not being done based on you thinking instead of listening to what he's saying. Very important. He says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So this is why walk by faith, not by sight, is so important. As I grow in my faith, I understand what I am based on what his word says. But if I allow my thinking to come into play, it's not even thinking low of myself. It's also thinking high of myself. But I'm thinking, and that's what gets in the way. In fact, as we see here, thinking you are something does not make you that something. It just deceives you. It says in Galatians 6, verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So that knocks out anything the world tells us about thinking and that we instill in our kids and all this other stuff. And it is a dangerous thought. Now, yes, you have some people that look like when they've done it, it worked out for them. Once again, it looked like. You get that. It looked like. And be honest with you, based on what God says, it's wrong. You understand? So we have to know this. So let's go over some basic things of thinking, and then we're going to get on the negatives of thinking, then the positives of thinking, or the evil thinking and the good thinking that we're supposed to have. First of all, things to be aware of when we think. God does not think the way we think. Please know that. His thoughts are superior to ours. This is why it's so important for me to get what he says. Now, a lot of us, or all of us, if you can think back that far, have to remember when we were little kids and our parents told us something that we were just distraught from. They said no to something or yes to something. And I'm not talking about abusive or just parents acting in emotion. I'm talking about parents who wisely gave you their instruction and their guidance. And you just could not gather what they're saying. And this is reason is why we as kids were supposed to just do what our parents says. The Bible says children are to obey their parents. It's not for me to have a thinking. Right now, we allow these little kids to reason if they want to go to sleep, to reason if they want to do something. And we allow them to have that reason instead of teaching them. No, the obedience has to go before the thought because you don't know how to think. Do you understand that? And that's why God says, in this, in Isaiah 55, 8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't fathom what God is thinking. When God puts something together, it makes absolutely no sense to us. That's why our senses get in the way. And this is why when people do that, but I thought, they're already blowing. Do you understand that? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a thought. The thought itself is not the sin. We're going to talk about that. But thoughts are dangerous when they play a part. And that's why you have people walking around looking confused because they're hearing God and then they're thinking. And they're trying to mix the two and it just doesn't jive. Why would God do this? And we become so upset and we get frustrated because of what we think versus what he did. Or what he says, and it just doesn't sink in what makes sense to us. We also know that the wrong relationship with God will distort our thinking. And this is what's happening to non-Christians. They already have distorted thinking. We're going to see that even in a deeper way. That's called the world and the flesh. They have a bad, distorted thinking. But this also goes for Christians that don't have the relationship with God. Our job is to have a relationship with him. Why do you go to church? Why do you? And people heard me. Somebody asked the question again. Remember when I said one of the worst things one church did is they canceled churches like 3 weeks in a row to go out and do good deeds. Once again, by sight, that seems like a great thing. The most important thing for you to do is receive the word. The most important thing for me to do is give the word. And every chance you can receive it and get it, you got to do that in order for you to go out and help people correctly. If not, you'll think. And in your thinking, you'll do what you think is right, which could be wrong. And you won't know that unless you learn how to think. This is why this relationship is so important. Romans 1, 21 through 23 is that warning to mankind on their thinking. He says, for although, watch this, they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So in other words, when it says they knew God, they understood there's an instruction and a guidance on how to glorify God and how and why we should give thanks. We have that. We know that. That's right there. We have it at our fingertips. But it says, but their thinking became futile or worthless, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We still allowed our thinking to be driven by other stuff. And this is why you see people ignoring the Bible today, doing some other things in their lives, doing stuff for their children, going after other things because of how we're thinking, not doing what he says. He says, although they claim to be wise, they became fools. He says, and exchange the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. What does that mean? So we're talking about idols, but what he's saying is we started now following these things, especially today it's man, but some people have these other animals and stuff like that. We follow other stuff other than God or along with God. And that's the danger. Your mind and your thinking become confused because you've added where God didn't say it. Simply put, if God said this answer, our answer is that's the answer. When God, but what we do is God will say, this is what it is. We start thinking, but God, I thought, I felt, you understand that? You already blew it right there. You understand? Then you want God to convince you in your thinking, but your thinking is corrupt. Get this. Hopefully you get that. Also, we see that our thought or thoughts will cause anxieties at times and could distort our purpose. So keep that in mind. The thoughts are going to still be there. You can't get rid of your thoughts. And they're going to sometimes cause feelings, which are like anxiety. It could be stress. It could be depression. Your thoughts are just going to have that. I still have thoughts that frustrative thoughts and things that you can have fearful thoughts, all those other things. So everybody watch a movie or something or watch something that startles you or scares you, then you scared to turn the lights off and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's a thought that now is allowing to affect you. But look what God says about that. And we see this happening. The Bible shows that this is a thing, a real thing. Psalm 13 verse 2 says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have a sorrow in my heart? This is somebody that understands the truth, but there's something that my thoughts did to me. How many of you realize, and I had a couple of couples that said this, and it's usually sometimes from wives that say this, they'll find out what the person did wasn't wrong or they misunderstood. Instead of them just going, I'm so sorry, they're still angry because of their thoughts. Do you understand that? Because of their thoughts. And like I said, I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart. You know what I mean? There's certain ways God is handling things. And because my thoughts mean so much, I wrestle with them. I struggle with them. Well, God, why don't you just do it this way? And I'm tired of this. And we go through that. We also see in Psalm 55, 1-2, he says, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. Watch this. My thoughts trouble me and I'm distraught. My thoughts, the things I'm thinking of, are really giving me this overwhelming feeling. Once again, depression, the feelings of anxiety, feelings of frustration, whatever the feelings may be, whatever the negative feeling may be, the These thoughts are causing this. I think about it all the time. And it could even go for what's something that we may feel good. You may be attracted to something you have no business being attracted to due to your thought. You saw something and it triggered a thought, or you just chose to think about this. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me," and watch this, "and know my anxious thoughts." This is you telling God, "I need you to cleanse me from what my thoughts are doing to me." You understand that? When he says, "know my anxious thoughts," if you notice, he didn't say get rid of my anxious thoughts, because that's not going to happen. That's part of my flesh. But he said, "know my anxious thoughts." So then in my strength, know how I am, that you can help me in my times of trouble. And that's just a prayer where you're engaging God to even protect you from how you think. And all of it, all of this comes together to show that God gives us protection from the anxiety of our thoughts. He shows. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Now, that key, you hear me talking about that, because the Bible throws that "be" out there. When I feel something, it's not what I am. Let me say that again. When I feel something, it's not what I am. I have to repeat that, because so many people got into certain things or got into certain trouble because of how they felt. I've even used this in the biggest worst thing that happens. It happens in bad relationships. People will get with somebody and they think they fell in love. And they go, "I can't help what my heart does." Let's say some stuff that the world says that's foolish. But it's up to you what you're going to be. You understand? I don't care what you feel. The godly person will be wise enough to understand, I can't be in love with this person. Now, there's a godly love I have to show this person, but I'm talking about in a romantic relationship or something like that. You'll go, "I can't be, though I think," but our mind's corrupt. He says, this is how you handle it. He was like, "but in everything, three things, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving." Okay, so I don't just take my thoughts and go, "why am I thinking this?" and try to discover where my thoughts come from and go back to my childhood. This is what worldly psychologists and psychiatrists will do. They try to figure out where the thought comes from. God already told us it came from a corrupt you. What he now tells you is how to deal with corrupt you. How do I do it? I give it to God. So I start off with prayer. Prayer is so important in our lives. And in my prayer, I petition. Petitioning God, "I got this on my mind, and it could be whatever it may be. It's not in line with you. Help me to not allow it to take over me." That makes sense. Not, "God, please get rid of this thought." That's what some of us do. We'll go, "God, I got these horrible thoughts in our mind. Get rid of them." Not necessarily going to happen, because what God is letting you know is your thoughts don't define you. Your thoughts are just a whole part of that feeling and desire and that whole entire thing that is part of the flesh. When you say, "God, help me," in your petition, you're saying to him, "I'm trusting in you." And this is where the thanksgiving comes in. You're thanking him ahead of time. You're thanking him for his mercy that he already showed you. All of these come together. He says, in this, present your request to God. So you're not anxious about it. You're using this pattern of what he's saying. Now watch what happens. What he doesn't say is, "I'll take away those bad thoughts and I'll make sure things happen and you'll go through this. You won't feel it." No, what he says, "and the peace of God." Because remember, there's always a counterfeit out there. The peace of the world, you don't want that. I know some of us say, "oh, yes, I do." Because once again, it's dependent on the situation and it's dependent on your flesh. And the problem with your flesh is the thing that you have peace with today, you're not going to have peace with tomorrow. Your flesh is fickle. The flesh is just all over the place. But the peace of God is when I'm in him. So I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what I am. I'm at peace. It says the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Why is he telling me not to lean upon my understanding? It's because my understanding is warped, but my understanding is all over the place. So good thing about this peace, what it does is it goes beyond that understanding. It's something I can't understand. Nobody can explain to me, but I have this true peace. Reason why people miss this, because I heard somebody say to me one time, "well, I did this and I didn't get this." They were still looking for the peace of themselves, the peace of flesh. You understand that? What they were looking for is this job to end or this situation to go away or this pain to go away. I get it. But they're still asking for a situational peace, not this peace. Not this peace. And if I'm still walking by flesh, spirit's going to do me no good. We have the most powerful anything you could think of at any time of anywhere. That's God in us. And we still lean upon the flesh. He says this peace will go beyond understanding. And watch what it'll do. It'll guard your hearts and your minds, not period, in Christ Jesus. So what it doesn't say is it's not going to protect me from thinking things. It'll protect me from my thinking to take me away from Christ. You understand that? This prayer will keep it so I'm affected and focused on him as long as I stay affected and focused. The things that are distraught and causing stress, I will never be at stress because I'm at peace. But that's me trusting in him and coming to him for his purpose. Okay? And this is why this is so important, because then you have to ask the question, are you leaning upon good thinking or are you leaning upon bad thinking? And it's going to understand, are you evil or are you good? If you're 100% following and trusting in God, that's the pure, that's the good. But, you know, I mean, and the good is, once again, credited by God. But if I'm one, once again, either mixing or totally not depending on God, then I'm bad. And my thinking is going to be all over the place and it's going to concern me. So let's look at the bad way of thinking first. First of all, the world's way of thinking is worthless and dangerous. One thing I'm saying here, and as you're going to read this, I didn't say some of the world thinking. Now, a lot of us have been, and we still are, caught in a trap. You know, I mean, especially now when we have so much access to videos and people talking and commentary and magazines and junk and so on and so forth, you'll get some people that get into what's called some very interesting talk. I love documentaries, but I don't love documentaries because they're so informative, because they're entertaining. You may get some information out of it. Some of it you laugh at. Some of it you see how people think. So mine is just a study of people. That's where it ends. I'm very leery of just going, wow, this documentary said this, so it must be right. But a lot of people listen to people and almost give them full say. And he just showed us that the world's way of thinking is worthless and dangerous. Let's see where he says it. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Well, how do the Gentiles live? He says, in the futility of their thinking. We read that over and over again. You still got Christians going, but I thought, I felt. Why? Because we still allow our thinking to have a say, because I allow my thinking to be influenced by other things other than just God. Do you get that? I told you when I watch, and that's why I say I hate political times, because clearly there is no political party out there that's godly. There is no group out there that's godly. There is no era or age that was godly. The only thing out there is the people of God. When they're in God, you understand that. So when I watch the people of God separate due to politics, the people who know God would go, there's something wrong. People who are not pick sides, become hypocrites. You understand? Dangerously so. So we'll listen to this person. I'll watch people listen to somebody because their thought pattern, they want to think to this person. They'll call that person brilliant. And they'll take in everything that person says. And they know everything. Somebody just as brilliant, I'm talking about worldly brilliance, on the other side, just because you don't care for them, you're just, I'm not listening to that, I'm canceling that, I'm not, and they play an influence. That becomes a hypocrite. And our thinking is distorted, even though he just showed the futility of their thinking. Their thinking is worthless. When I'm sitting here and I'm trying to think and I'm trying to be the scholar, I'd be in trouble. As a pastor, if I try to become a scholar and a pastor, I'm in trouble. My job is to receive him completely. Whole scholar thing is out of the equation, because scholarly is me building up how smart I am to work with God. No, my job is just to receive and to give you God. It goes on to say, watch this. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. What's the hardening of your heart? You just heard me say, God gives an answer, but you'll still hear people go, yeah, I know he said this, but they might not even say it out loud, but their lives show it. Bible clearly says to do this over here, and you're doing this over there. Why? Well, I heard somebody say, or I watched somebody do, or it makes sense to me, or I'm working on it. And we'll say all this nonsense instead of and not realizing that's a hard heart. It goes on to say, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. That means they're letting their flesh now, the feeling, guide them, not the spirit. It's so to indulge in every kind of impurity. What's impurity? Anything, either not the word at all or anything added to the word, with continual lust for more. And they keep growing in the nonsense. So we have these organizations out here, call themselves Christians, that are doing stuff that are not completely in the Bible, and they still call themselves Christians. The problem isn't that. The problem that follow these people that are completely not in the Bible, and they follow, you know what I'm saying? And we just do it. Why? Continual lust for more. They say something that I was always thinking, something that I like. It fits my desire. You're going to hear about desire in a little bit. Now, it also shows in Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord knows the thought of man. He knows that they are futile. And he goes straight to it. He didn't say the Lord knows the thoughts of some men. He says the thoughts of man, and they are worthless. You understand? And I've heard, once again, commentaries and heard people talk that, I mean, they put some stuff together and you're like, wow. But my wow shouldn't be, wow, that's deep. My wow is, wow, look at what they're doing away from God. Because it still comes down to, where's it at in the Bible? It should be simply that. If you can't show me that in the Bible, I don't care how brilliant it sounds. It is meaningless. Now, it should be that easy, but you still got people that, because of their thoughts, still going to be swayed, right? Because your thoughts cater to what you want instead of what he says. A fleshly purposed person will have evil conscious thoughts, plain and simple. Just like we read earlier, an evil person or an impure person is going to have, is the one that's going to dictate your thoughts. Matthew 15, 17 through 20 says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes, and he adds this to the rest of the things, evil thoughts. Y'all catch that? Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Now, the part he's putting there is these sins, including evil thoughts. Okay, now evil thoughts aren't a sin in themselves. We see that with the rest of the Bible, but he's saying, but where does that come from? It comes from this unclean man, and the thoughts then lead to murder, adultery, sexual immorality, so on and so forth. And we're going to see how that thought now grows, but not just thoughts, evil thoughts, okay, that we allow to exist. That's what man does without God. Okay, man must be in line with God. Man must always think through God. If not, you're going to justify the wrong that you do. You'll justify it in your own thinking. Christians must not try thinking both worldly and godly. We must commit all of our thinking to God. I'm sorry, I skipped something. Where it shows ungodly people live and think based on their desires. This is why I wanted to make sure we understand. Are your desires, and remember, your desires is what you want, plain and simple. And we've slowly gotten to a world where people think what I want must be right because I want it, right? And so Satan goes along with that. You should be able to have, why not? So our thinking gets that way. And Ephesians 2:3 says, all of us also lived among them at once. Watch this. Gratifying cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Because a lot of us, and this is going back to where 1 John really shows us, why is your action evidence? Because it's not what you feel, not what you think, it's what you do that you is what you are. You understand that? So if I say I truly love God, my life will show it. But if I say I love God, but I go with what I think, which is based on what I desire, I don't love God. And I may not be a Christian. It shows I'm not a Christian. My actions are going to show that. Why? Because I'm trying to please what I want, and I follow then what it wants and what it thinks. Its thought pattern makes more sense. There was a person, we had a conversation on marriage, and you could tell they were driven by their desire of what they wanted marriage to mean instead of what God said. So I can clearly show, here's what the Bible says about marriage. And they see it, but because of the desire of what they want, they ignore it. They start using logic for it. Well, what about this? What about that? You know, I mean, I remember the one person, they were talking about a same-sex marriage, and I would show them, they asked, because, you know, other than like how some people do it wrong, I didn't come out and just bash them on, you're going to hell, you shouldn't be a homosexual, blah, blah, blah. Mine was, let me show you what the Bible says, and we as Christians live by the Bible, correct? And when I was clearly able to show them that, their answer wasn't, yeah, but the Bible also said, their answer was, but how can God go against how I feel, and this has to be real, and you only know what I was going through, and blah, blah, blah. We start giving what the sinful nature wanted as a line of evidence or my proof. It's the thing that I'm going after. While I come back to, but this is what God says. You see how our thinking really messes us up? Because our thinking is going, this has to be real. Think in your life, how many times have you thought that you were in something, doing something that you thought was, man, it had to be real, and you look back and go, man, that was stupid. Why at that time did it seem so real, and then later on, man, that was stupid? Because our thinking is corrupt. As we see, Christians must not try thinking both worldly and godly. We must commit all of our thinking to God. In this age, in this perilous time, what we have right now, this is one of the biggest dangers up there. This is one big thing that's really hurting us because we're mixing the two. So in other words, I'll go to church and I'll say amen to some of the things God is saying, but I'm also now part of these organizations. I'm listening to certain things. I'm reading other literature, and I'm going into it with my guard totally down, and I'm trying to get the best of both worlds. So you're going, I'm doing the good God says, and I'm doing the good the world says. And you really think you're doing good, not realizing the good that you thought the world saying is not good at all. Look what he says. James 4, verse 8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So God is always there for us, but it's up to us to engage him. It says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Watch this. You double-minded. What does that mean? So double-minded means I'm thinking two ways. So they justify themselves because there are godly thoughts they have. They don't talk about the non-godly thoughts, which cancel it out, which corrupt the godly thoughts. So you end up sinning, thinking you're justified. That's why it says purify your hearts. Because remember, purity is 100% what God said. When I have a corrupt heart, I may be doing some of what God says, but I also do stuff that God told me not to do. That's why it says our goal is for our deepest thoughts. You understand that? And it's for us to make sure we're definitely looking deep into him. Now, this is why the wrong relationship with the world and things of the world will dangerously distort thinking. Okay, this is why he gives this command here, once again, which we tend to ignore. 1 John 2, 15 through 16 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, if I stop there, the person who has a pure heart goes, okay. Today, we try to dance around it by pulling things in as if they're not of the world. I told you right now, I mean, you have some people that are extreme patriots or extreme something else. And he just said not to love the world or anything of the world. So you'll see something that's made of the world, but because it means so much to me, I'll make sure that does not include it in this passage. So now Satan's like, I don't care what you pick, as long as it's of the world, and as long as you're disobeying him. And he's letting you know every element that comes from the world caters to the three things that make up the corrupt man. That's why he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's that evidence. If I am in any way embracing or living, or I have this passion for the world, my thinking should immediately go, there's a problem. You get this. When something in this world has a say, it could be my friends. There are some people, once again, call themselves Christians, but they got this set of friends, and these friends mean almost the same to them as God. But because they're worshiping God, they think this is good. There are certain activities people are doing, and they equate it with God, or they engage it just as equal with God. And he's saying, I'm letting you know right now, if anyone loves the world or anything in the world, you're not a Christian. The love of the Father is not in him. You got that. And he breaks down for everything in the world made up of these three things, either the cravings of sinful man. So the world is that thing that caters to what I want, Okay. The lust of his eyes, how that's the how I see it, or what I didn't realize I'm going to want, and the boasting of what he has and does, the me factor. The cater, one or the way, it's a combination of the three or all of them. This is what the world caters to. And he made very clear it's not from God or from the but from the world. Made very clear, has absolutely nothing to do with God. Even though in my mind you're going to see things of the world that are going to make you go, wow. Do you understand that? Now, I mean, you hear me joke about sports teams and my team and all this stuff and what I may love in the team and all that, and that's fine and all, but I can never let the team ever play a part in what I live for or that I praise or that I rule. And unfortunately, we don't just do it as with things just as frivolous as that, but we do it, like I said, in our patriotism. We do it in our family dynamics. We do it in our jobs. We do it in what people call our values. Now, you know, we go deeper into values because the Bible clearly tells us that my values have to be only in heavenly things. He says, do not place your values in the things down here on earth, the temporary, but place your values in things on in heavenly, which are the eternal. But you still have people that'll think, and you'll sit there and you'll watch them, and you'll still watch them invest in temporary. Because they're still allowing what they think to influence what they say, despite what he said. I'm going to stop there. Any questions? All right. Praise God. Hopefully you're thinking when we finish this up, God willing, next time, we're going to get a chance to finish up on the evil part of thinking. And then we're going to see how we can enhance the good thinking. But first of all, you got to make sure that's what you're going to be. A good person isn't something that you strive to be. It's something either you are or you're not. And simply put, a good, remember, no man is good, right? He says only God is good. So how we get credited by God is allowing Christ through us. And that's the complete package. It's not me trying to be good. It's not me allowing you to tell me I am good. It's us following what God says is good and truly trusting in God. Our thinking, we have to now control and not be controlled by, but it's going to still exist. We have to be led by faith in him. Any questions? All right. Let us pray. Dear Lord, once again, thank you for your word. Help us to go through it, study it deeper, make sure we understand that it's in line with what you're continually saying. Help us, dear God, to really understand how to maneuver and deal with everything that we're going through. Help us stop being distracted, even by things that we think are wholesome, that we think are godly. Help us to know by what you give us. Help us to stay deep in your word. Please hold all of us shepherds or under shepherds, dear Lord, to present your word and faithfully give the word in a way that's going to feed your sheep, to nourish them spiritually, to be able to go out there and do what they need to and not allow their thinking to get in the way. We ask for continual blessing on those who are struggling, on those who have lost and are losing loved ones, for those who are just lost in the world. Give us the right things to say. Give us the right time to say it, dear Lord. Help us to comfort you and to continue to lean upon you. We love you. And we thank you, dear Lord, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you all.
Love you too. Night.
Night. Night.